Blog Talk Radio.
Demonstrated its own love for me in that while I was still a sinner, Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that he has delivered me from the domain of darkness and transferred me to his kingdom, and in him I have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I believe that I am now a child of God and that I am seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. I believe that I was saved by the grace of God through faith, and that it was a gift and not a result of any works on my part. Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministers, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. We encourage you to visit our social network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.riversofrevival.com. And I am pleased to inform you also that there is now a branch of the House of David School of Ministries in Orlando, Florida. I recognize that there is only one true and living God who exists as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is worthy of all honor, praise, and glory as the one who made all things and holds all things together. Of those in authority over them, and they submit only when it is convenient, or they do so in the fear of being caught. The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority over us. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Rebelling against God and His established authority leaves us spiritually vulnerable. The only time God permits us to disobey earthly leaders is when they require us to do something morally wrong or attempt to rule outside the realm of their authority, to have a submission to spirit and servant's heart. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You have said that rebellion is the sin of witchcraft and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. I know that I am not always being submissive, but instead of rebelled in my heart against You and against those You have placed in authority over me, in attitude and in action, please show me all the ways I have been rebellious. I choose now to adopt a submissive spirit and a servant's heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission on www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis every Wednesday and Sundays to our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our websites, our posting of words of the day on numerous websites.
We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission as House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are an important component to bringing the gospel to the world. Together we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003, or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. This required him to be expelled. Genesis 3, verse 20 and 24 says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make a coat of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God made coats of skins and clothed both Adam and Eve. An animal was sacrificed to cover not only Adam and Eve's physical bodies, but also their sins. The Bible tells us that someone has to die or shed their blood to pay for our sins. Hebrews 9, verse 22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Remission means pull back or removal. God probably killed and shed the blood of an innocent lamb, which represent what Jesus' sacrificial death and shedding of blood would ultimately do to cover Adam and Eve's sin. Death was the penalty for their sin, and someone or something had to die to pay that price. It is still true today. If we have no one to pay for our sins, then we will have to pay with our life and death in hell forever. Who was God talking to when he said that the man has become one of us, to know good and evil? Was it the angels or some other creation? No, he was speaking to the other two parts of the Trinity. Just like in Genesis 1 verse 26 and Genesis 11 verse 7, when God uses the same word us when speaking, the triune man who was created and proposed to be like God, tried to skip the legal process of obedience, which would cause maturation over time, instead caused himself to be disqualified. God had to now put Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden to keep them from eating of the tree of life and live in this corrupt state forever. God drove them out and put cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Satan was a cherub, and the assignment of cherubs, the same rank that Satan had to guard the entrance to the garden, was probably also to keep Satan out.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, where angels from great fall bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him. Oh,
chapter 4 begins with Adam and Eve's life outside of the Garden of Eden. It begins to detail the lineage of Adam, beginning with his first two sons. It is important to note that on lineage is given regarding the daughters of Adam and Eve, yet we must deduce that they are daughters, for it was through them that the sons of Adam had children. Let us begin with the examination of Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, which says, And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. This scripture begins with the statement that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. The Hebrew word for knew in this text of scripture is yada, pronounced yada, meaning to know, kal, to be acquainted with, or know a person carnally, or through physical intimacy. The order of sexual relation was set here, which is one of husband and wife, and not the sexual liberties that people participate in today outside of marriage. The scripture tells us that through this act of intimacy between Adam and Eve, that Eve conceived or got pregnant. The first son she bore or gave birth to was Cain. It is very likely that the second child that Eve gave birth to, whose name was Abel, was the twin brother of Cain. The reason I believe this is that the Bible never said that Adam knew her again or that she conceived again before the birth of Abel. God also told Eve in Genesis 3, verse 16, that he would greatly multiply her conception, which is to say that she would have a lot of children, but also she would have more than one at a time. We do not know if there were daughters that Eve bore with Cain and Abel, for the record of girls were not listed, as I have stated. In verse 2, we are told of both Cain and Abel's occupations. Abel, the younger brother, was a keeper of sheep, or a shepherd, while Cain, the older brother, was a tiller of the ground, or farmer of vegetation and fruit. I want to point out to you that neither of these jobs was a bad thing. Rather, it was what each of them had the talent and grace to do. For in each of us are different talents and abilities. Acceptance, most everyone wants it, regardless of what people do. They want their efforts to be recognized, whether they gave their all or just a little. Yet with God, this does not work. We find this issue with Cain in Genesis 4, verses 3 through 7, which reads, And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering. But unto Cain, and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou didst well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Over time, Cain and Abel learned about offering things unto the Lord. We have here both brothers bringing an offering to God. Cain, who is the tiller of the ground, or farmer, brings an offering from the fruit of his labor. Abel, who is a shepherd, offers the firstling of his flock and the fat. God accepts Abel's offering, but Cain's he rejects. The Bible does not say why God rejected Cain's offering, but it does imply that it was not satisfactory to God in verse 7. Although there are many theories about the reason God rejected Cain's offering, I believe that reason is what is in bold and underlined. Abel gave God what was his firstling and his best, and we must deduce that Cain did not give God what he at first harvested or his best, and thus God rejected it. Others have said that Cain had to sacrifice a lamb or other animal because the scripture said that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or cleansing of sin. Others have said that it perhaps was in Cain's attitude of giving, which might be true. But I believe it was that he was giving God what was left, rather than offering up what was first and best. Cain, instead of trying to get it right, got angry. God warned Cain that unjustified anger opened the door to sin. Sin's desire is to destroy man, but man has the ability to master it. Because God gave man free moral choice, or an ability to choose. Who is at fault when we do not please God or meet his conditions? Most often, people do not accept the fact that it is themselves, for it is always easier to blame others or feel that God's standards are too high. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 through 16, we find a conversation between two brothers, one who pleased God with his offering and the other who did not, it says. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Sometimes people do not want to hear truth about themselves. In verse 8, we find Cain and Abel having a conversation, probably about Cain's offering that was rejected. Abel was most likely instructing him in pleasing God, yet this angered him, like Satan, because Cain could not harm God. He turned his anger towards God's righteous servant Abel. Sin in the heart most often causes people to attack those who are righteous. Cain allowed sin into the door, and thus he killed his brother. This is a first murder. In verse 9, God asked Cain a question of where was his brother Abel. This is a similar question when he called Adam in the garden. He said, where are you? As with Adam and Eve, God was not aware of where Abel was. But he wanted Cain to understand the eternal consequences of his action, as well as Cain's inability to bring Abel back. Cain responded to God sarcastically, saying, am I my brother's keeper? We can see clearly here that Cain did not respect God, and we can assume that his offering was not one of reverence, respect, or worship, rather one of duty. God loves a cheerful giver, and that was not Cain's position. Because our lives are in our blood, Abel's blood, in which was his life spilled, and was crying out to God from the earth. Cain was cursed and punished because of this sin against God and his brother. Cain's work efforts would not bring forth or yield a harvest. Many people are the same way, in that they hold back what is God's and then get angry at God when he's not being pleased with them. This attitude of the heart leads them into further sin and an inability to get their needs met. Cain was marked a distinguishing sign, warning, or omen by God, and was made a vagabond or wanderer. Cain was afraid that someone would kill him. Who was he afraid of? If there were only four people mentioned in the Bible thus far, Adam and Eve had other children, because God had told them to replenish the earth. Genesis 1 verse 28. Cain was afraid that someone in his family would get mad, like he did at Abel, and killed him. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, we see the lineage of Cain. in his seed were sons and daughters who had graces to do various things, such as makers of brass, musicians, cattlemen, etc. It reads, "And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begat Meujael. And Meujael begat Methusael. And Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. And he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naaman. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. We must reason that Cain's wife was one of his sisters or niece. We have a lineage of Cain, including Jubal, who was the father of instruments, and it is where we get the word Jubilee. We also see that Cain's seed Lamech, five generations after Cain, has now killed someone in the act of what he says is self-defense. Sin is now growing rapidly, spreading upon the earth unbridled. Next, we see restoration of the redemptive line through Satan. Let's examine Genesis chapter 4, verses 25 through 26, which tells us of this. It reads, And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Satan. For God, said she, had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Satan, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. After the genealogy of Cain is given, we go back to right after the death of Abel, when Eve bears her next child, Satan. He is God's replacement for righteous Abel. And from his line, the promised Messiah would come. It would seem that all of Adam and Eve's other children were not seekers of God, because it was not until Satan's son Enos was born that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Satan's children were probably righteous, while all others were unholy. having selfish pursuits and not seeking the living God. Now we have the genealogy of Seth in Genesis chapter 5. Every person alive on the planet today came through this line.
Lived 130 years
and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image, and called his name Satan. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Satan, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Satan lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Satan lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Satan were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 950 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he had begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hand, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It is important to note that in this chapter, there is the first declaration that Adam had daughters as well as sons. Not only a few, but he, Adam, probably had many, many children. There are about three names here that are of note, and they are Enoch, Methuselah, and Noah. In verses 21 and 22, 24, it speaks of two of these people, Enoch. It would seem that Enoch did not have a full life, but that is quite contrary. Walking with God and knowing Him is the purpose of this life, and Enoch fulfilled that earthly. Enoch was a holy man living in a very sinful world, and God supposed for him to come and be with him. Sometimes you can keep peeking through the veil of eternity by being in God's presence so much that soon you don't fit in this world anymore, and must move on as God sees fit. Enoch begot the next person of note, and that is Methuselah. Righteousness can often begot or birth righteousness. When we live a life of holiness before our children and bring them up that way, we set our holy heritage in our families that often lasts from generation to generation. Methuselah was the oldest living man. He lived for 965 actual years. It is important to note that God does not punish the righteous with the sinner. We can see that in the same year that Methuselah died, God sent the flood. Noah's father, which is Methuselah's son Lamech, died 5 years before Methuselah. All of Seth's seed in this lineage was dead, but Noah, who is the third person of note, and his family. God waited until all the righteous ones were gone to bring judgment. It is important to note that no one lived over 1,000 years. Why? Because God told Adam that in the day that he sinned, he would surely die. Adam died spiritually that day. But if God had destroyed Adam, then his purpose for mankind would have been defeated by the devil, and God is never defeated. With God, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, and so God applied this principle to the life of Adam, and it passed to Adam's seed. They all had to die before a day in the sight of God, which was 1,000 years. Psalms 90 verse 4 and 2 Peter 3 verse 8. In verse 32, we find here that Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth when he was 500 years old. It must be that these three were either twins and one born alone, or triplets, because they all were born when Noah was 500 years old. It is also important to understand that Noah began building the ark 20 years before his sons were born. We know this because it took 120 years to build the ark, and the flood came when Noah was 600 years old. But yet his sons were not born until he was 500 years old. His sons were born to help in the building of this ark, and that is probably all they knew, because they were born into their father's vision. Adam would have been 1,656 years old when the flood happened. Chapter 6 of the book of Genesis is very interesting, in that it states that there was a mingling of species, man and angel. It also teaches us that wickedness and all sin does not go unpunished.
Yeah.
Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose." We see here the replenishing of the earth in verse 1. In verse 2 of this text, we see a distinction which is the sons of God and daughters of men. Nothing in the Bible is said accidentally or by mistake. Each word was relevant, and so we must assume that this statement has some point that God is trying to make. I believe that the sons of God are angelic beings. Why? Because anytime we see the words sons of God in Scripture, it always denotes a being created directly by the hands of God. Adam was the son of God. Jesus was the son of God. In the book of Job, we find the angels who are gathering together in heaven being called the sons of God. Job 1 verse 6. "And when we were born again in our spirits, we become sons of God." John 1 verse 12. In Genesis chapter 6 verses 3 and 4, we get greater insight regarding the offspring of these half-human, half-angelic being. It reads, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old," "men and renown. God was and still is long-suffering towards us, even while we are in our sins. God strives with us to live righteously through the promptings of the Holy Ghost. God determined that he was going to give man 120 years to turn from their sin. Some think that here God was saying that men would now live to about 120 years. But this is not the case. God was stating that he was going to judge all flesh within 120 years. As we now know, Noah took 120 years to build the ark. He probably preached to them righteousness, but they would not listen. We find in verse 4 that giants were born to the daughters of men who cohabited, had sexual relation with the sons of God. This is where a lot of Greek mythology gets its stories of beings half man and half God. What they considered godlike were actually angelic beings. Many of the stories, like Hercules and others, are derived from this. I want to point out something that is very important, and that is the children of Adam and their lineage besides Seth's line
did not seek the Lord. And because of this, they probably were willing and open to angelic deception. Some of Satan's lineage did not become contaminated with angelic DNA because some of them served the Lord and could hear his voice directing them not to. In verses 5 through 7, we see God's heart hurt that he had created man because of what they had become. This causes God to declare a time of judgment. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repented me that I have made them." Man had become evil and totally reprobate or against God's ways. Most everything that man was devising with his mind was used for evil. God was not regretting that he made mankind, because God does not make mistakes. Rather, he was sorry and sad for what the people had done to themselves. This is the same kind of sorrow a parent expresses when their child has chosen the wrong path to take in life, when they had been instructed to do right. God was sorry that the people had chosen sin and death. God decided to destroy mankind. This also stopped and destroyed the mixed mingling of angelic beings and mankind, as well as it slowed down the swift progression of sin that had polluted the earth. This mingling of angelic beings and the human race was probably a plot of Satan's to destroy the possibility of the Redeemer being born as a pure man and thus disqualify anyone from saving the world as Jesus Christ did. A pure man without sin could not purchase back what Adam lost, and the devil knew this. And so he tried to contaminate the human race and thus stop the possibility of a Redeemer. Noah was from a pure man background. God not only destroyed man, but the animals also. Why? God destroyed whatever man had jurisdiction or authority over, because they had been corrupted. Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 10 tells us about Noah, who was perfect, righteous in his generations. It reads, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. Although Noah's three sons were saved also, they were not mentioned in verse 8 because they were not born yet. As with Enoch, We have Noah as a person who walked with God, which is to say he tried to obey God and live holy. Again, we have Noah, have three sons with no difference in times of birth.
Oh Lord, the mountains are fly but sometimes steep. But I know you are always there to help me. So humbly I will stay right at your feet.
Continuation of this lesson.
If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. I recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. I believe that he came to destroy the works of the devil, and that he disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public display of them, having triumphed over them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The wind blew it where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come, and whither it go. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I am your host, Reverend Donald Davis, reminding you to join us every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and good night.